referred to Asians as Orientals, and she was offended by it. So we'll get into that in a little bit. She's welcome to come back on the air, Cam, and tell me personally about it, because I would like to hear it. Sometimes we have sensitivities that we don't even realize are sensitivities. And that was the case in the reference that I made earlier. So there you go. We'll welcome into the program once again the man who loves to watch the money grow. And that's a good thing, because he is the managing director and portfolio manager at Ancora Advisors. He's been a friend for a long, long time. We welcome him back to the show. It's been a while. David Sowerby, good to hear your voice again. Good morning to you.
Frank, always a pleasure. I can't say that enough.
Well, you're way too kind, my friend. So we're spending all this money in Washington. At some point, the debt's going to become due, and it's got to be repaid into the Treasury. And my idea for, I just mentioned this to Congresswoman Dingell, was instead of making these government payments out of the tax money, why don't we just cut everybody's taxes by a whole bunch?
Well, we've got history that tax cuts do work, and sadly, we're gonna see here pretty quick how tax increases work in the opposite direction.
How do you mean? What are you forecasting?
Well, okay, not as we suspected with the new administration and the last round of fiscal stimulus, the tax talk was going to escalate. It started to, in particular, a week ago. Whether it's corporate income taxes, individual income taxes, capital gains, dividend income, wealth transfer. I'm going to miss a few in between. So I looked at the relationship between tax increases and stock market returns, and probably not a big surprise, but the headline would be tax increases dilute stock returns. Tax increases have consequences for stock returns. Just quickly, if you look back at the four largest tax increases, 1969, 1990, 1993, 2010, centered around those tax hikes were stock returns, which were meaningfully below their long-term averages.
So history should give us the lesson on that, should it not? I mean, that's how we're taught in schools, to learn from those sorts of examples that you just gave.
You do. And we know in the near term, some of the stimulus was certainly needed a year ago when we had the CARES Act and the Federal Reserve stepped in. They had the toolbox a year ago to put the right stimulus into the economy. But then there came a point where it's gotten very excessive. Wall Street does like a sugar high in the near term, but we're going to find out that to pay for all this stimulus, which is by some measures, the fiscal and monetary stimulus is 45% of U.S. GDP. That's something you and I'll never know in our lifetime except now. And to pay for it is going to be higher taxes. And what does that do to future growth, whether it's just simple economic growth or your stock portfolio? The outcome in the history is not in the favor for stocks delivering their long-term average. They generally do half or less than half their long-term average centered around tax increase years.
Mm-hmm. And then, David, there's also the other proposal that's on the floor. It was our own Rashida Tlaib from Detroit who reintroduced the legislation that would give everybody in America, every American during the COVID time, however long it lasts, $2,000 a month. That sounds inflationary to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Right. It's that. Remember that song by Dire Straits with Sting, Money for Nothing? That's what it sounds like to me. We can debate the merits of the last fiscal stimulus, but ultimately, we know the bill comes due. And you're right, Frank, inflation is not a problem currently, but I think it's starting to percolate as we throw all this stimulus, both fiscal and especially monetary stimulus. And inflation is a tax. It takes away your purchasing power. Never forget that about inflation. It takes away purchasing power. And we've got the likelihood that incrementally inflation rates will get higher.
Mm-hmm. How do you assess the strength of the markets right now, Wall Street, et cetera?
I think yesterday we marked the one-year anniversary that stocks bottomed March 23rd, 2020. It's been a significant rally off the lows, 80% for large company stocks, 110% to 20% for small company stocks, on the back of stimulus, vaccines, reopenings to some degree. That's all been positive. I said in the near term that Wall Street is like a kid. They like the sugar high of stimulus until the sugar high has a letdown. And maybe the letdown isn't in 2021, but in years out, I do think we're slowing down our potential speed limit because of the likelihood we're going to have to pay for all this this stimulus in the form of higher taxes. It's probably not going to be in fiscal restraint. It's going to be in higher taxes.
Well, exactly.
But in the near term, I've learned, you know, bet on good companies to get to manage through some misguided policy out of Washington. Good companies will prevail, and that'll be your formula to get that beachfront estate in retirement.